Our readings today are the readings for Epiphany. The Greek word for Epiphany means manifestation. So this festival commemorates the visit of the Magi from the East and symbolizes the manifestation of the baby Jesus to the world. Now, a lot of our popular impressions of Epiphany likely come from Christmas cards or staged nativity scenes and the lyrics of the carol We Three Kings. In a typical Christmas play, all the elements from the infancy narratives of Matthew and Luke are squeezed into one performance. So you have the three kings wearing crowns on their heads, each holding a gift, following a star to Bethlehem, arriving at a stable full of sheep and oxen, where shepherds have also come to see the baby Jesus lying in the manger. But a closer reading of Matthew 2 presents a somewhat different picture. First, these men from the East were not kings, but astrologers, because the Greek word for magi means astrologer or magician. These astrologers would study the movement of stars and planets and interpret it as a sign that some important event in the world had occurred. More on the Magi a little later. Also, the text does not specify that there were three of them, nor their names or origin. Later traditions simply assumed that there were three of them, given the mention of three gifts. And later, they were identified with particular names and places. And popular interest in this story focuses on things such as the names of the Magi, the giving of gifts, the Star of Bethlehem, and King Herod's doings. However, the historical details of the story are difficult to substantiate. But it should be noted that the story has an important narrative function in Matthew. The visit of the Magi to worship Jesus alarms Herod, who, after he's been fooled by the Magi, will resolve to kill all the male children in Bethlehem and its environs 2 years and younger. Herod's plot constitutes the reason for the Holy Family's flight to Egypt and return. And the flight to and return from Egypt, together with the slaughter of the innocents, served to make Jesus into a type of both Moses, who was also delivered from a cruel tyrant, and the nation of Israel as a whole. As such, Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy and the story of Israel. Later in Matthew, Jesus will play the role of a new Moses, and of a new Israel in the wilderness who remains faithful to God in temptation. Also, the story of the Magi shows Jesus to be the fulfillment of prophecy. Also, the Magi did not meet the baby soon after Mary had given birth. Unlike the shepherds who went to Bethlehem right after the angel had told them, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," the Magi arrived later. From their initial sighting of the star to their arrival in Bethlehem after a stop in Jerusalem, considerable time would have elapsed. After all, Herod ordered all boys under the age of 2 to be killed, not just infants a few months or weeks old. Moreover, verse 11 says, "On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother." By then, the Holy Family would have long since left the temporary shelter where the shepherds first visited for more appropriate lodging. It's also interesting that the Magi were not led by the star the entire way. You know, in We Three Kings, we sing, "Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. O star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. In Matthew's text, they saw the rising of the star, ascertained its significance, and departed for Jerusalem, the logical place to find a Jewish king. Had the star guided them all the way like our modern-day GPS, it would have taken them straight to Bethlehem. Yet it was only after Herod sent them to Bethlehem that they saw the star again, which led them to Jesus' exact location. Despite the discrepancies between the biblical text and the popular versions, let's be reminded of the theological message that Matthew has for us. Comparing Herod to the Magi, the irony is stinging. Jesus, the true King of the Jews, Davidic Messiah, and Son of God, was rejected by the sitting ruler of God's own people. Being half Jewish, Herod was both feared and hated. The Jewish historian Josephus painted a picture of Herod as a suspicious and cruel king, with a history of killing anyone whom he saw as a threat, not least his own family. So even though Herod was reminded of Micah's prophecy that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, his response was not to worship, but to destroy the newborn king. With murderous intent, he tried to trick the Magi into divulging Jesus' location. By contrast, the Magi were the wrong people doing the right thing. By means of their astrological expertise, these pagans happened upon a star. How did they know the star signified the birth of a Jewish king? Did they know of Balaam's prophecy in Numbers that a star shall come out of Jacob? We don't know. The text is silent. Nevertheless, the Magi acted on their discovery. They embarked on a long journey, carrying expensive gifts worthy of a king, eager to pay homage. Their efforts led them to an encounter far beyond their expectation. The king of the Jews before them, before whom they knelt, was not just another human king, but the son of the Most High God. The text says that they were overwhelmed with joy, which is an understatement. The wording in the Greek is wonderfully, emphatically redundant. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Their homage was elevated into worship. The star in the dream that warned them not to return to Herod assured them that their pursuit had led them to the truth. Since the Magi were Gentiles, the festival of Epiphany commemorates the manifestation of the Messiah not only to Israel, but to the world. This resonates with the outlook of Matthew, whose narrative ends with the Great Commission, when Jesus instructed his disciples to make disciples of all nations. As the Magi proclaimed the good news upon returning home, we too can do the same with great joy, deep reverence, and persistent enthusiasm. The Magi, again, who are said to come from the East, give the story an exotic flavor. Again, ancient Magi were persons reputed to be adept at astronomy, as well as various occult arts such as astrology, interpretation of dreams, fortune-telling, and magic. Here, they're clearly thought of as astronomers or astrologers who have found the rising of a star to be of world historical significance. It was a common idea in antiquity that the birth or death of great men was accompanied by heavenly signs. But there is more than meets the eye in the identification of these Magi as from the East. The word used for the East in the story really means the rising, that is, the rising of the sun. The word would have had a number of connections for the first Greek-speaking Jewish Christian hearers of Matthew's story. The rising of the sun in the east readily suggests the imagery of light, which is often associated with salvation in the Bible. We heard from Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Isaiah's vision of salvation includes a pilgrimage of the nations who will come to Israel's light to worship the God of Israel. The Gentile Magi are to be understood as enacting the fulfillment of this prophecy. The word appears with equal significance in other texts. We have the text from Numbers, which speaks of a star that will rise out of Jacob. This verse was interpreted messianically in Judaism, and it's easy to see how a star could become a symbol for the Messiah. The Star of Bethlehem is to be understood against the background of that text. The star indicates that the Messiah has arrived. The term appears again in Matthew 4. Matthew comments on Jesus' appearance in Capernaum with a citation of Isaiah, which speaks of light shining on those who dwell in darkness. Matthew's usage is very similar to Luke's, which speaks of the dawn from on high that will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Finally, the term is used in Jeremiah with a different but related meaning. Here the word refers to the righteous branch of David, that is, the Messiah. The branch that shoots up from a tree is a rising of a different kind. These Old Testament texts have undoubtedly lent their emphasis on the coming of light of the Messiah and of salvation to the story of the Magi. While Matthew's gospel ends with the risen Jesus' command to the disciples to go out from Galilee and make disciples of all nations, the gospel begins with an anticipatory visit of the Gentiles to Judea to worship the newborn Messiah. The Magi stand for all the nations, including us, who would come to worship Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, and see the manifestation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Amen.